This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in hour number two of the Budweiser Sports Line. Brought to you by our good friends at Bama Budweiser, who remind you to enjoy their products responsibly. Glad you are with us, and we're also glad Mr. College Football is with us. Tony Barnhart. Tony, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, John. I'm well, thanks.
We are more confused collectively this Wednesday than we were a week ago about what we thought we knew about college football. Of course, I called the Troy upset loss to South Alabama and thought that was something. But then two upsets of top 10 teams on Friday, some crazy stuff on Saturday. From some of those games, including Clemson losing to Syracuse and Washington State getting beaten on Friday and then into the weekend. Tony, is there a common thread to any of that? Is there a lesson to be learned collectively there, or is this just college football and you better just get used to it?
Well, the lesson is that if you're not completely ready to play, you can get beat on any given night. You get Clemson, you get beat at Syracuse. All right, Washington State, you can get beat by a struggling Cal team if you're not ready to play. Well, you know, Washington State, I think, had seven turnovers, some ridiculous number like that. That's one. Number one. Number two is this is the way college football is, and this is the way it's going to be. And I think we're just getting started. I think the second half of the season is going to be even crazier than first. So.
Wow, I think there's certainly some big games coming up in the second half of the season. I'm not so sure there are a lot this weekend. Four teams in the league, their fan bases probably not real happy. Tennessee, Arkansas, Florida, and LSU. I want to start with Florida, Tony. Jim McElwain's taken this team to the SEC championship game twice, but from what I'm hearing, the natives in Gainesville are not real happy.
Well, I spoke in Orlando Monday night to the Orlando Touchdown Club, and they're about 75% Gators, and they were not happy. They were not happy at all. Now, listen, Jim McElwain's not on the hot seat. Okay, let's get that squared away right away. Now, people aren't happy. They aren't happy with the offense because the offense is very limited in what it can do. Plus, they got 12 guys sitting out these games, including their best running back and their best wide receiver. But no, the Florida offense. I mean, what has happened is that Florida has. Jim McElwain went through a stretch because they're so limited offensively, they tend to play close games. But McElwain had won 90% of the close games.
Mm-hmm.
Then he loses two close games, and everybody's upset. So, yeah, I'll be the first to say that Florida's offense is struggling and that the Gator fans are not happy. But Jim McElwain's not on the hot seat.
You know, you look around the SEC. And there are very few clubs that are as bipolar as LSU has been. But on the other side of things, Tony, there may not have ever been a team as solid and steady in the SEC as Alabama seems to be right now. In terms of predictability, those seem to be the opposite ends of the spectrum. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Alabama, as I've said, I did not see a weakness there. I mean, now the question about Alabama is what's going to happen when Jalen Hurts has to throw it 30 times to win a game. But thus far, they haven't had to do that because the running game is so overwhelming as the defense. LSU, I've been talking to a lot of people about LSU. I think that was a team that couldn't figure out what it wanted to be, a team that wasn't practicing very hard or aggressively. That's changed, and they figured out what they can do offensively under Matt Canada, what they can, what they can't do. And I think a lot of that showed last week. They found a way to win that game against Auburn. But I think LSU's getting better. That's my point.
Arkansas, I can't understand. I can't figure them out. I really couldn't figure out the hire years ago with Brett Bielema. And I'm not real sure he's done a lot since he's been there. I would have expected more since he's been there. What about his future in Fayetteville?
Well, that's a very difficult situation because, quite honestly, the first couple of years he was there, he had some pros on the defensive side of the ball, and that kept them in games, and they were able to run it fairly effectively. But now, in the last couple of years. Their offense, you know, John, to tell you the truth, it's not a hard team to figure out. They're just not very good, okay? They're not very good on the offensive line. Their quarterback has just been beat up unmercifully. They're, to me, they're sort of average at wide receiver, and they lost their best wide receiver. And defensively, they're having a tough time stopping anybody. So I think the question is, why are they not any good? And I think Brett Bielema's got to sort of answer for that. Now, here again, Jeff Long is not his athletic director is a patient guy, but I'm anxious to see how they finish. And this is after all his fifth year.
Yeah.
Talking with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, you've always sort of taken a hard line against calling for somebody's job or mm-hmm. this and that. That being said, Tony, it seems as though if the guys in Vegas end up being justified and Alabama beats Tennessee badly this week, that's going to be difficult for Butch Jones to rebound from. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do. And frankly, right now, it's one thing to say that a guy should be fired. It's another thing, just in the way that I view things, to say that the situation exists where it's going to be difficult for him to stay there. It's hard for me to see a road back for Butch Jones. Hope I'm wrong. I like the guy.
Yeah.
And I never want to see anybody get fired. But it's just hard given everything that's happened, their ineffectiveness on offense. The Tennessee fan base, I think they've sort of had it. And then the question always do you still have the players, and do they put up a fight against Alabama? It's hard to do because Alabama's really, really good. But right now, I think if you're going to be honest, it's hard for me to see a road where Butch Jones makes it back.
What has been the problem? Obviously, recruiting. Getting the high-class players into Knoxville. And Philip Fulmer did an outstanding job of doing that in his day. He would, you know, certainly scurry the country to find the best players. Tennessee was known as a national recruiter. Is that stopped over the last 5 to 10 years?
No, I think they recruited pretty well. Now, they had a three-year dip when Derek Dooley was there. And the one recruiting class that Lane Kiffin brought in turned out to be a disaster, but Butch Jones and his staff have recruited pretty well, and they've got what they think is a top 10 recruiting class on paper for next year. Right now, I think the issues with Butch Jones and his staff are game related, in the management of the game. And go back to several years ago when they had Oklahoma beat at home and let them slip away. Just, you know, and Saturday was a micro against South Carolina was a microcosm. They get dominated in the second half by South Carolina, the line of scrimmage, but Tennessee finally puts together a drive, gets to the 2-yard line with a chance to win the game and can't get the ball in the end zone. It's that kind of things that have sort of worn on the program. And I don't think it's the issue of the talent, it's how the talent's used.
Has Kirby Smart in a year and a half, what has he done differently than what Mark Richt did in his time at Georgia?
I don't know that it's anything all that different. I think one of the things they have done is they've really shored up the offensive line. That, to me, I thought that was the big question mark about Georgia for this year. Would the offensive line finally develop? And they have, and they're blocking pretty well. And when you get two running backs or three running backs like they've got, the offensive line does tend – does tend to do very well. You know, I think Kirby came in and built on what Mark Richt had left. They've recruited well. They're going to recruit well. And it's just been sort of a natural evolution. I mean, Georgia is, next to Alabama, Georgia is certainly the most complete team in the SEC.
Where do you put the responsibility for Auburn losing a 20-point first-half lead and losing at LSU? What happened there, and where does the blame belong?
Well, I mean, to me, it's always a team loss and stuff like that. Because, look, was the play calling conservative in the second half? You bet it was. 13 straight first-down runs, that's conservative. But given the way that Auburn had played to date, you do not expect to they weren't going to drive the ball consistently on Auburn's defense, but they did hit a big play for a touchdown and a great catch. Mm-hmm. Then they got the punt return, and now they're back in the game. So to me, it's a combination of things. But no, I think the criticism of the play calling, I think, is fair. I mean, you just in this league, you cannot take your foot off the gas. You've just got to stay aggressive. And I believe Gus Malzahn admitted in his press conference this week they should have been more aggressive. And I tend to agree with him.
Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline here today. Let's look at the ACC. Is NC State for real? Could they win it all?
We said before the beginning of the season that NC State was the dark horse in that league. Great defensive line. Bradley Chubb is, if you haven't seen this guy play, man, you got to see him play. And the amazing thing is that their one loss is to South Carolina in the first game of the year in Charlotte, where South Carolina got a big punt return for a touchdown. And, you know, I think they're a good team. And, listen, they should have beaten Clemson last year. They had a chip shot field goal at the end of the game to beat Clemson. So keep your eye on North Carolina State. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good.
My final observation I'd love to get you to comment on. We were talking after the upsets of this weekend that it seems more and more likely that if anybody is to head off Alabama at all this season, and it would be late in the postseason, would be somebody like Penn State. I've seen film of them. I watched a lot of film on them early in the year. James Franklin has done a great job up there. Do you see a likelihood that Penn State could be playing for it all at the end of the year?
Well, I've got Penn State in my Final Four right now, but look at they got a gauntlet of Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State coming up. And I don't care how good you are, it's going to be tough to beat those three teams. But to me, they're the team with the fewest questions in the Big Ten. They've got probably the best player in America, Saquon Barkley, who can just do everything. Chase McSorley is a veteran quarterback that I like a lot. And that is the kind of team. Again, the formula for beating Alabama has not changed in the last 10 years. You've got to throw the ball, make big plays in the passing game, and force Alabama to turn the ball over. If you can do those things, you've got a chance to win. And so, because you're not going to drive the ball 80 yards on Alabama, you're just not going to, unless you've got Deshaun Watson. So, and I don't think anybody has Deshaun Watson. So, but I think it'll be a team like Penn State. Yeah.
Tony, TCU kind of hanging around. Could they get into the Final Four?
Absolutely. If they run the table and win the Big 12 championship at 13-0, Gary Patterson, to me, is one of the most unheralded coaches in the game because they had a bad year last year and they fixed some things, and now they're knocking on the door. But, you know, they got to play some tough games down the stretch, and then whoever, you know, they'll have a rematch with somebody in the Big 12 championship. So let's see how they finish. But I think, no, if TCU runs the table, goes 13-0, they're in.
Yeah, that would be, you're right. Certainly not a great year last year. Certainly has turned it around. Tony, my last question, I wanted to go back to Auburn. Were you surprised when you heard after the LSU game when Jarrett Stidham made the comment that he's not allowed to check off?
I was not aware of that. I am a little bit surprised about that, but it is not unusual. I have heard of other programs where they don't let the guy check off. Because who was it that did that? Tennessee quarterback checked off to an obvious play on the line of scrimmage in the Florida game, and he was not supposed to check off. So, you know, the question is, what's the relationship between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback? But I have heard of programs where they do not, particularly in goal line situations, they don't let the quarterback check off.
Tony, where can we hear, see, and read about you? Because I know our fan base loves to keep up with Mr. College Football.
Well, I'm working for a new website called TMG. TMG stands for the Media Guides, TMGCollegeSports.com. I'm in business with three of my best friends who work for the Boston Globe and Chicago Sun-Times and the Los Angeles Times.
Oh, wow.
I'm, of course, the guy from Atlanta. and so we've got the country covered, and it's tmgcollegesports.com, small subscription, $1.99 a month. But we've got the thing covered. Obviously, during the Thursday night SEC Now show for the SEC Network with DJ Shockley and Peter Burns, we're having a lot of fun doing that. Doing a little radio on 680 The Fan here in Atlanta. So it's enough to keep me out of trouble.
But hey, I hear you. That's always a good thing. Well, we will certainly keep following you. We always enjoy everything you bring to us with college football, and it's Always a lot of fun, Tony. We'll do it again real soon.